Morning again.
Morning.
When I was getting ready or setting up for the Youth Sunday, I asked some of the youth who wants to preach. No one said they wanted to preach, so here I am. But I hope you all have enjoyed seeing the youth throughout this Sunday kind of take a role and help serve this church. As I know it gets me excited to see them in that role and to help serve, and I hope that also excites you as well. And it's exciting for me what the Lord has put in my heart, and I'm excited to share with you all this morning what he has put on my heart. Along with that, I've also been excited because, as most of you know, recently I had the blessing of getting married, so that was fun. So we celebrated our 1 month anniversary a little bit ago. So with that, I now know everything. So I'm going back. Yeah. So jokes aside, married life is great. And I say jokes aside, but there's going to be more jokes. So married life has been great, and I not only get to live with my best friend, but I also gain a new gym and running partner, whether Haley knew she was getting into that or not. It's unfortunate, but I know, however, she loves to get up early in the morning with me and loves to go on runs very early. We're talking probably like 5:15 or so in the morning. So I know that was an adjustment for her. And with married life also, I get the opportunity to use her in my sermons, so that's exciting as well. Anyway, so in the mornings, we would go for runs with her leading and me matching her pace, and I would be encouraging her, telling her to keep pushing herself, to keep going, and just offering her these words of encouragements to help improve, to help encourage her to beat her time that she previously had. And over time, if we took her time from before to now, it has improved. And even if those times are just minor and they're just slight, it's nonetheless an improvement. And I don't want to say I'm taking credit for all this improvement. There's multiple factors that go into it when it comes to running. It could be form or anything like that. But nonetheless, encouragement is something that can push someone. And it is something that I think we all like to hear and like to get from other people when it's being encouragement. And it's also something that we ought to give to people throughout our daily lives, whether we're discipling people or mentoring people or just being kind towards other people. So this leads into what we're going to be looking at today in the text. We will be diving into a relationship between a mentor and their pupil, observing the interactions that they had between each other and how those interactions can be applied to relationships and mentorships today. So from this relationship that we look at, we're going to be talking about three major points, and have the pointer here. And mentors, we'll be talking about three major points that mentors ought to have and also apply to their relationships as it goes on. With those markers or those points being instruction, remembrance, reminders, and uplifting. So we will be going over those, but before we dive into the text, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for this day that you have provided for us and the mercy that you have shown us each day, even when we are undeserving of it. Your love goes beyond our own comprehension. And Lord, I pray that we humble ourselves before you, that you would guide our thoughts so that we may be able to walk away with a better understanding of how to be encouragers to our earthly relationships, whether that's through family relationships, friendships, or mentorships. God, you have called us to make disciples, and I pray that what we discuss and learn today would help guide us closer to how you want those relationships to act out. God, thank you for the hard work that the youth have put in this Sunday, whether they can be present here today or not. Thank you for the willingness they have to come and serve you, and bless them and everyone in this congregation. And again, I ask that you be with us as we dive into your word. It's in your name I pray these things. Amen. So this week, we'll be reading from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 16 from this text. And we'll be talking about the importance of mentorship, going over three markers that a mentor should find themselves doing in this relationship and when it comes to mentoring others. So if you want to turn with me there, either in your Bible or your Bible app, and I will read that. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed, having nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially for those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love and faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So from the scripture, there are three important markers that Paul does as a mentor for Timothy, and that we will discuss further as you see them on the screen. And again, these items will be further discussed, and it's important. But before we get into discussing these items, it's important that we set the scene of this relationship between Paul and Timothy, if you couldn't have already guessed from the scripture who we'll be talking about today. So now, to set the scene of this relationship, we need to go back to the start where Paul is first introduced to Timothy in Acts 16. Wrong way. There we go. So Paul, I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. Paul came to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken by the brothers of Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in the places, for they knew that his father was a Greek. So from the text, we see that Paul is already commencing his ministry, and he has been for some time now. And during this time, he comes across a mixed individual who is spoken highly by his peers, so much so that this captures the interest of Paul. So Paul takes on the responsibility of Timothy, asking for him to join him on his ministry and on his missionary journey. So now, some of you may have already known this, others maybe not so much, but it's important that we set the scene of this relationship as we get deeper into the type of mentor and encourager that Paul was to Timothy, which lead us back to the scripture that we read earlier this morning. So going back and looking at the start of chapter 1 in Timothy, we know that Paul was writing to Timothy, offering counsel and teaching towards him, setting the example that Timothy ought to follow. In this section of verses that we are looking at, Paul is offering encouragement towards Timothy and his mission while serving in Ephesus. For as it read, as I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine. So this is a clear instruction that Paul gives or gave towards Timothy, which we will get into later, how instruction plays into a mentoring role. So jumping back, encouragement is something that we all know and sometimes love, I guess, depending on the situation you're receiving that encouragement. For example, I tend to take encouragement better from my friends and family compared to a Chiefs fan coming up to me saying that the birds will fly better next year. I wouldn't take that as encouragement at all. I would be, yeah. But the point that I'm trying to make is here is that encouragement does have an impact on people one way or another. So of course it would make sense that Paul would want to be offering Timothy these words of encouragement, since Timothy himself was dealing with a tough audience and was alone on his mission. So now that we have a little bit of a background and starter for the relationship between Paul and Timothy, let's look at the markers that I have mentioned earlier and how they are found in today's scripture, with the first marker of what a mentor should be doing and what Paul demonstrating being instruction. So I've come to find in my few years of ministry that there are two types of people. There are those that listen to instructions very easily, and then there are those that could not care at all what instructions you give them. For example, downstairs in the youth room, there is a table game with pool balls and these pillar-like things. Don't ask me what the game is called. I have no idea. And I would try to explain the entire game, but we don't have time for that. But this is often the main attraction for the boys on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning. Anyway, without saying any names, when it comes time to teach, there are certainly those that will listen when we say, all right, guys, time to find a seat. We're about to teach. And then there are certainly those that will just say, oh, just one more game or one more shot. Come on, I got it. I can keep going. And it's like, no. It's time to sit. You get the picture. So, well, when it comes to the relationship between Paul and Timothy, we only do see one side of instructions that are given, and that being from Paul. However, it is safe to assume that Paul and Timothy were in a healthy relationship based off of how Paul opens in both letters to Timothy, saying, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of our God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true child in faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father of Christ Jesus, our Lord. So this is how Paul opens in both greetings to the letters to Timothy, demonstrating their bond that they had developed over time in their relationship and ministry together, indicating that there was a sense of love and respect between them. But why does this matter? Because it matters because it shows that there was little pushback from Timothy on the instructions that were given to him by Paul when it came to Paul being his mentor. And I think, speaking from experience, we all tend to take instructions better from people that we know and people that respect compared to people that we don't know. Knowing this, Paul lays out instructions for Timothy in dealing with the church in Ephesus throughout the letters that he sent. As a mentor, it is the duty of an individual to help walk alongside those who they are taking under their wing, and part of this is done through the instructions that is given to them. So if Paul would have just left Timothy with a greeting and some words of encouragement and no instruction at all, more than likely, Timothy would have been left in Ephesus kind of feeling lost and confused and not having an idea of what he was supposed to do. To try and lead as a mentor without giving a person advice or instruction is like buying a brand new Lego set, only there's no instructions on how to build it inside the box. So while Paul wasn't in full control of how Timothy was to go about sharing and doing what Paul was asking of him, Paul was still clear towards Timothy on what the end goal was at the time. So let's look back at verses 6 and 7 for a moment. If you put these things before the brothers, referring to what Paul had written leading up to this part of the letter, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed, having nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. So there are a few instructions that Paul mentions to Timothy, which are the following. Trained in the words of faith and good doctrine, not to give into irrelevant things or silly myths, and train yourself for godliness. There are also more instructions that can be found throughout the text that we have read today, and that can be found in the verses, and those can be listed on the screen behind me. But it's important for Paul as a mentor, again, to give these instructions to Timothy, because these instructions give Timothy direction on where to go and what to do. These instructions, however, are not just relevant for Timothy, even though they were addressed to him, they were also relevant for believers and churches back then and today. So just as today, we are given the word of God that tells us also how to live a Christ-centered life, we are instructed through the Bible on how to make disciples. And too often, we can become so focused on just being the disciples that people often forget that a big part of discipleship is mentorship. For discipleship is what we do, when mentorship is how we do it. So when it comes to leading others and being a mentor towards them, it is crucial that you yourself are prepared to give instructions or directions for those you are taking under your wing. For failure to do that results in failure to properly grow the individual you are trying to mentor, for they are lost in a maze of what feels like to be endless directions to choose from. So Paul is known for being very clear on what to do, whether it's fixing a problem or how to approach one. And in Timothy's case, he was given clear instruction on what to do during Timothy's stay in Ephesus. However, it's also important to know how much instruction you give someone. Because if you give someone too much instruction and you hold their hand along the way, they will not be able to eventually move on their own. And sometimes experience is the best way to learn certain things. So moving forward, the second marker that I want to address and is found in Paul and Timothy's relationship is remembrance or reminders. So along with giving instruction to Timothy of what to do and not to do, what to expect and not to expect, Paul also goes back to reminding Timothy why he's doing all this in the first place. In chapter 4, verse 10, a reminder is said by Paul to Timothy that despite the toils that they will be faced with, it is the hope of the living God that they have set their eyes on. For to this end we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. So how much sense would it make for Paul to provide Timothy with all these instructions on what to do and not tell Timothy or remind him of what the end goal was? Now, more than likely, Timothy already knew what he was doing all of this for. But Paul having that subtle reminder to Timothy both shows him and us, the readers, where Paul's heart was throughout the writing of these letters. Paul having a fire and heart for the Lord is a prime example for Timothy to see and be motivated to chase after. But it should be important to note that Timothy was not serving the Lord just solely because of Paul and because Paul was telling him to, but rather because Timothy saw how the Lord could impact the lives of those around him, including Paul and his own. So when mentoring, discipling, and encouraging others, we ought to remind those of why we are doing this in the first place. Not because we said so, but because of who said so. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I command you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. That was the reminder that Paul was trying to give Timothy during their time in serving in missions, And that ought to be the reminder today that we give to those that we mentor and lead. Sure, they can be smaller goals along the way, but this right here is the ultimate goal, that Jesus did not say this as a recommendation or a suggestion. He said this as a command. Paul also reminds Timothy of those that will be saved at the end of the passage that we have been reading from today, including both himself and the hearers. It has also been made clear that Timothy would face backlash from others, but again, Paul keeps pushing the end goal in mind and reminding Timothy not to be concerned of those that may be pushing back against him and about the said persecution that he would be faced with. For none of that compares to what God has to offer. So in helping others remember why they are doing what they're doing drives them to see the purpose behind their actions. This is of extreme importance today when so many struggle with knowing what their purpose is. Yet when they are reminded and remember of the end goal, this can help them get back onto their feet. Showing reason behind the actions and the words that you're trying to teach gives them reason and remembrance that you are not doing this for no reason and that they are not doing this for no reason, but shows that you care for their well-being and the path that they decide to go down, ultimately reminding them of the purpose that they are given in this life by Christ. So Paul, as a mentor to Timothy, shares the remembrance that all they were doing and the suffering that they were going through is not without cause. For it says in Revelation 21, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" So the final point and final marker that I want to make tonight that Paul demonstrates in his letters to Timothy as a mentor is how Paul is uplifting. As mentioned earlier, we see that Paul and Timothy have a very close relationship with each other, to the point that Paul would consider Timothy as his own. And from what we have read so far, this section of scripture offers up plenty of uplifting and encouraging moments and comments from Paul towards Timothy. In verses 11 and 12, for example, we see that Timothy is offered encouragement by Paul in dealing with what were considered higher-ups in Ephesus, and not to be worried or fear because of his younger age. "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." There can be much intimidation for younger people when they are put in a position of leadership, and some of the people that they are leading are older than them. Some people don't like being told what to do. Nonetheless, they don't like being told what to do by a younger person or someone younger than them. I've personally had this experience working at Chick-fil-A as a manager in the kitchen. There would always be a select few that were significantly older or slightly older than me. They were older than me. And I would be their boss, and I would give them instructions, and it would take them a little bit to get used to following the instructions that I would give them, especially if our age difference was significant. In Timothy's case, he was already a timid person, yet Paul acknowledges this issue and still offers Timothy an uplifting response in saying that this should not be something that halts or bothers him. Paul sees the gifts and the potential that Timothy has, even if he himself may not see it yet, and is on him about pursuing such abilities and gifts that God has given him, taking courage in a youthful age, for there will not be despair or pushback for a youth acting in a Christ-like manner, not neglecting the gifts of God that have been given to him, which is most likely referring to the gifts of preaching and teaching, But now it should be important to note that as a mentor, Paul knew when to give praise and when to be serious, when to be gentle and when to be firm. When I played football, there was this one coach that coached the defensive side, and he was much bigger than me. He was tall, much taller, and he was just huge. It was like, if I stood beside him, it was like I was David and he was Goliath, basically. Anyway, one day I practiced, he was going on talking about respecting people, and eventually it got to the point with him saying, it's important for people to know when to be firm and when to be gentle with each other. So he calls over a water girl that was helping us during the practice, and he reaches out to shake her hand, and he does so in a gentle-like manner, not crushing her hand. Now note that his hands were probably the size of my face, or like they were ginormous. Anyway, even with those giant hands, he was able to shake the girl's hand and not crush it, showing that he had control of when to be gentle. Then he calls me over. And he says, shake my hand. I'm like, oh no. So I didn't want to tell him no, because he would probably make me run if I didn't shake his hand. So I go to shake his hand, and to him it felt like a regular handshake. To me it felt like my hand was turning into Play-Doh. The point he was trying to make while I was holding my hand in pain is to know the difference between knowing when to be gentle and when to be firm. That is a similar case here when it comes between the mentorship between Paul and Timothy, as Paul knew when to be uplifting towards Timothy, but also addresses the issue that he would be faced with and offer encouragement in going up against them. Being uplifting as a mentor is an important factor, but bear in mind that when someone is constantly or consistently being uplifting and encouraging and not offering feedback or correction, the person that they are mentoring will not have a clear idea of when they are doing something wrong or when are they doing something to the bare minimum. Uplifting those who see the struggles of the world surrounding them brings both hope and joy, and knowing that these struggles that are present are only temporary and do not compare to the reward that awaits those who put their trust and hope in the living God. Paul is honest with Timothy and does not hide the fact that there will be struggles that he will be faced with. And this is also the approach when it comes to mentoring others, as putting on a fake face the entire time will at some point be revealed to those you mentor. When people know of the struggles that they will be faced with, they can prepare themselves for such things. In everything, set an example by doing what is good in your teaching. So integrity, seriousness, soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. That is from Titus chapter 2. Paul was setting an example before Timothy from the moment that Paul took him under his wing. And even though they were not with each other at the time of these letters, Paul was still willing to mentor Timothy through the challenges that he would be faced with. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. At the end of it all, Paul offers this instruction to do unto others what Paul has done to Timothy, being a mentor towards others and training them in the ways of the faith. So while Paul was a great mentor to Timothy, it is a reminder to us all that the greatest mentor of all is Christ. Paul even acknowledges this by stating in verse 6 of chapter 4 that in doing what Paul asked, he, Timothy, would be a good servant of Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate person we all should be striving to chase after and be. Christ has lived as an example for his disciples on how to live life the way God had intended. And this is still the case today. We are shown through Paul that Christ shines when we follow his teachings and obey and go out to make disciples, as Paul demonstrated and did for Timothy, who came from a mixed background, but that didn't stop Paul from reaching out and mentoring and discipling him. We should never look down upon others because we think that they are lacking in certain skills. Paul was able to use someone who was shy and timid And Jesus used a bunch of nobodies, basically. This spoke hope not only to Timothy then, but to churches as well, for the letters were also addressed to said churches and shows the importance of training young people and not casting them aside because of their age. So I want to begin to wrap up today with summarizing the three markers and points of how they are relevant today and how they can be helpful to followers of Jesus. Starting with instruction, we saw that Paul was clear to Timothy on what he was to do in his time at Ephesus, giving him direction on what to do and what not to do. And this is important for those mentoring to keep in mind, for many younger people today struggle or don't have a sense of direction at all. And even if they do, it never hurts to help them flush it out more. The second marker was regarding remembrance and reminders. There is a purpose and end goal for this life, and reminding those to help get them back on their feet of this end goal or purpose. And despite the struggles, Paul reminded Timothy of why they were doing all this in the first place. Not for themselves, but for Christ. And finally, there was being uplifting. With so much negativity in the world today, hearing someone being uplifting towards you can go a long way. Paul did so in a manner to Timothy to uplift him and help him recognize the gifts that God had given him and for him to use those gifts to glorify God. This passage can be and should be encouraging to younger believers, because not only does Paul acknowledge Timothy for being a young believer, he continues to stand behind him and push for him to face the difficulties and challenges ahead. Which is a reminder of how Jesus also used younger people in his ministry and did not look for the strongest nor the wisest to join him. He instead wanted the lowest people he could find, turning to fishermen and tax collector, who everyone thought were a bunch of nobodies, but are now known to millions as the disciples of Jesus. Paul was able to instruct, remind, and uplift Timothy to the point that Timothy could feel that he can contribute in the kingdom of God. And that is what mentoring should look like. This is not to say that every person needs a mentor or needs to be a mentor to glorify God, but it never hurts to have one behind your back supporting you along the way. While having a mentor in one's life does provide wisdom for that person, we must remember where wisdom starts. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. The reason I was calling our points today markers is because when you go on a hiking trail, most of the time you'll come across markers or spray-painted trees or something to help guide you along those trails, to help lead you so you don't get lost, which is why it's important to have markers both on hiking trails, but also when it comes to mentoring. Because mentoring is helping guide individuals and share wisdom with them to help navigate through life. And for those that are mentoring, take to heart the markers that we talked about today and many others that we didn't. And I pray that you can apply them to those you are mentoring to help them navigate through the difficulties of life. So as our team comes forward, all this talk of mentoring and teaching, there may be some here today who wish to be mentors towards younger generations, and there may be others that would want nothing to do with it, as you see that the task does not come easy. So I offer you this quote by theologian Matthew Henry, where he states that the office of ministry is a gift. It is a gift of Christ. We are all given different gifts and capabilities that we might not think are good enough to serve God. But that couldn't be further from the truth. While some of us might not serve in ministry directly, does not mean that God is not capable to use us to impact the lives of others around us. Paul reminds us of this through his mentorship towards Timothy, again being uplifting, instructive, and setting reminders for him. At the end of the day, Jesus is the ultimate example that we as a church should be pointing the next generation towards. See?